And once again, we turn to him in prayer. Lord, we pray this morning that we may indeed become more devoted to you, and that through these exercises, that we may be sharpened in faith, that we may have clear minds about your word, that we may know your spirit filling us anew. And this we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we are on this series of 12 habits to deepen your relationship with God. And it's important to note that these are not commandments. They are good exercises that can help each and every one of us. And that's what we want to do. We want to have good ways in which we deepen our relationships with God. And so we're looking this morning at the area of fasting. But it was Richard Foster who said, and we heard this last week, that the desperate need today is not for a great number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. And so it is indeed our aim that we grow deeper in faith and in our love for the Lord. Fasting. Well, what is it? Well, fasting is the practice of abstaining from food or something else for spiritual reasons. And that's what it is. It is for spiritual reasons. And that's the emphasis that we're laying here. It's not so as we can become supermodels or become Hulk Hogans or anything like that. It's so as we grow in faith and in depth. We're called to intentionally feast on God, the living God. The reason we fast is because we want to spiritually encounter and grow deeper in our relationship with God. And so, what is the motivation for this? More importantly, what's the right motivation for this? Well, Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18 sets this out as Jesus taught his disciples. When you go without eating, do not look gloomy like those who only pretend to be holy. They make their faces look very sad. They want to show people they are fasting. What I am about to tell you is true. They have received their complete reward. But when you go without eating, put olive oil on your head, wash your face, then others will not know that you are fasting. Only your Father, who can't be seen, will know it. Your Father will reward you because he sees what you do secretly. And so Jesus setting out the right reasons for fasting, that it is something personal, it's about relationship with God, only he sees and knows. And then how do we set about fasting? And one other thing before I go on, in Matthew 6 there, notice there's a little four-lettered word that is very important. And the word is when. So Jesus doesn't say if, he says when to his disciples. He expects that it will be part of their life of faith. He says, don't draw attention, but when you fast, you don't do it to be seen or to receive recognition. Instead, you're to live normally. And why then do we fast? Well, three reasons. First of all, we fast to enable us to put God first, so as we're not driven by our desires, but we're seeking God's desires in our lives first. And sometimes we need to make space for that, and fasting is a means to do that. And we fast also to express our utter dependence on the will of God, to align our hearts with his will. We do not fast, for instance, to twist God's arm to get our own way. I can tell you now, that ain't going to work. So we express our utter dependence on God through fasting. And thirdly, We fast to express our repentance. God, forgive us. And that can be that individually we know that we fall short of God's glory. And also, and this will be a shock to you, not everybody here is perfect. Not even everybody at the front here is perfect. And so we all fall short of God's perfect glory in our lives and perfect ways. And so collectively, we can express our repentance through fasting. And at various times in history, the church has been called to fast. And we'll think about some of those a bit later on. There are three areas for fasting. And I'm going to begin with the obvious one, food. Now, as human beings, we have a complicated relationship with food. And in relation to food, if you have any medical conditions or it's not wise to do so for any reason, well, then I don't recommend fasting or get medical advice before you do so. But in our affluent society, we've got the idea that we should eat three good meals per day and have snacks in between. And if we don't, then we're going short. Perhaps this is still a legacy of the post-war years, when there were still shortages of certain food items and luxuries. Our families in those years worked hard to provide a better future for their children in what they hoped would be a stable and peaceful and prosperous society, leaving behind the restrictions of the war years and the post-war years. And that included having a variety of foods available. Now, I wonder, take a moment and think back to when you were a child, sitting at the dinner table, and your mum was there, and you were sitting there, and it was the cabbage that you didn't want to eat. And, that was sitting because, as a child, really didn't taste very good. And so, what would Mummy say? Well, she'd say, "That's good food. You need to eat it up. You're not leaving until you finish your food." And so, we learnt that it was good to have good food and to finish it up. But just imagine if we could go back now and we could say to the people who were at that table, say, "Do you know what, how we get our dinner now? Well, we take out our phone and we push a button and somebody in a food outlet will get a message from us. We make our choices and it will arrive at the door." And my goodness, they would be totally shocked. We have moved from a stage of having restrictions in food to having it simply by pushing a button on the phone and getting it delivered. So we need to think carefully about how our relationships with food. Now, fasting. As Christians, we are to be countercultural as we seek to put God first. And a fast could be for one day or one meal. And if we fast for one meal, well, then we'll think maybe we've done really well. And what I'd say about that is, well, if you're going to fast, well, then give that time, the preparation time, the eating time, the washing up time to God and seek Him and know Him and take that time in prayer and in the Word. But maybe after one meal, then you want to move to one day of fasting. And that could be for a 24-hour period where you want to give that 24 hours to God. And so you'll have your drinks to stay hydrated, but you won't be giving time to eating food. And for some people, then, this can develop into a longer period of time where they fast and pray. So there's a variety of ways of fasting. And so we should seek to develop the gift of fasting. As Christians, we are to live counterculturally, to put God first, and to grow in our relationship with Him. And when you feel hungry after you're fasting, make sure that you're taking that time to give your thoughts to others. In this country, there are those who are hungry and have to make choices of either food or maybe electricity or heating. Across the world, there are those who are hungry, whom some of us have encountered through Abana on the streets of Kampala, and we saw the street children coming, and they literally came in rags and got showered in the street at a water pipe, put on their school uniforms, came in and got some education and got a meal. So as you fast, maybe you want to give to those in need in this country or indeed across the world. And there are many organizations, both locally and internationally, who seek to help those who are hungry. It may be the Holy Spirit leads you to give the money you would have spent to a Christian charity. In doing this, we're offering our lives as a gift to the poor in the world around us. Fasting, secondly, from technology then. And this can be a bigger challenge. You know, if we are off technology, we can kind of suffer from that feeling of missing out or fear of missing out. I wonder, do you know where the off button is on your phone? Some people won't know where the off button is because they just got it, they put it on, and they've never turned it off. It is a way of giving our souls a rest. Now, this may be all the more the case after the last 2 years when our lives moved online, when those of us who weren't great social media users found ourselves having to move online, to post information, to do recordings, to look at that little timer going round and praying that it would load up somewhere on the internet. And, you know, today, many of those hearing this service will do so because of technology through our YouTube channel. It has got to the point where we may feel that we can't do without seeing or hearing the latest news or sports results, or for the younger generation that they can't do without TikTok or playing games online with friends. We may delight, as I do, in seeing family and friends who live in another part of the country or indeed across the world through social media. It may indeed be the case that a fast from technology is much more challenging than a fast from food. And yet, I wonder, are our souls longing from a rest from the all-consuming and intrusive nature of technology in our lives? You know, the year 2000 saw many changes. One of the big things was that kind of internet and social media came alive. So it's interesting that it was back in the 1990s when there was maybe, I'm guessing, a tenth of what's online now available, that a psychologist called Neil Postman said this: technology has a way of moving from being a tool to being an intruder in our lives. And I wonder, for some of us, has it got to that point where technology is intruding on our conversations at the dinner table? Is it intruding on how we are present with one another? Is it intruding on our basic sense of self? You know, does that depend on how many likes we get for the latest image or the latest thing that we put up on social media? Are we measuring ourselves against the number of social media friends that we have? And so then the challenge is, what might a fast from technology look like? Well, the first thing, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is turning off your phone. Now, that can be quite a challenge because, you know, we're so used to getting messages like that, to seeing news updates, to seeing the latest news about what Boris is up to in London. And my goodness, do we need that all the time? I'm not really sure we do we? So turning off your phone can be a start. And that could be maybe for an hour a day in which you give that time to totally focus on your relationship with God, to read, to pray, to meditate, to seek God's presence. And then secondly, we could take a Sabbath from technology for a 24-hour period. And again, this is to be totally present to God and to others, to have those conversations that go deeper than happen whenever we're on technology, to hear and see what others are saying to us and what God is saying to us, and to discover a new depth of relationship that has been missing. And that will be a challenge because we're now used to having groups of people sitting around and everybody on their phone in the room, maybe even texting each other from one chair to another. Or, my goodness, we might take a walk without our phones. Now, some of you will find out how many steps you take on your phone. And that's maybe a good thing. But honestly, you can take a walk without it. And you don't need to know every step that you take. It also frees you from thinking, well, I've got my phone here and I'll text or I'll see the latest or whatever. Discover on your walk a fresh appreciation of God's creation, to give thanks for the beauty of it, to lay down our burdens, to hear and see the beauty of God and His love for us through His creation and redemption of the world. Now, if you think back 2 years, remember we were all told to stay at home and not go out in our cars. And what was the big news after that? Birds sing. Nobody had heard birdsong. And suddenly we were hearing birds sing. Well, if we take a walk without interruptions, we can hear birds sing. This fast from noise and flashing images will enable us to do as Elijah did in 1 Kings 19. This was one of our meditations during this week. And to stand before the mountains, to hear the Lord, who spoke not in the great and rushing noise or in the earthquake, but who spoke in a gentle whisper, and who then guided Elijah in his life and in his service for God's people. So take a walk without your phone. Take a break from technology. And then we come thirdly to fasting from compulsions. To be honest, our compulsions will differ from person to person. And I'm going to highlight three here, but you will know the things that you compulsively give time to that you need to take a rest from. So I guess one that many people face is overworking. We have that kind of Protestant work ethic instilled into us still. And we maybe have the idea that until everything is perfect and done, we'll keep working. And then we'll suddenly realize that everything will never be perfect and done. And so it turns into a workaholism that is detrimental to our well-being, to our souls. And so overworking can be a compulsion. And secondly, and I'll get in trouble for this one whenever I go home, because everything being neat and tidy, my wife will tell you that I don't suffer from this. But, you know, there can be this image, maybe because of these, you know, home perfect shows on the TV, or we go around and see show houses. But the reality is, things will only be perfect and neat and tidy in show homes. It's only there that they stay neat and tidy. We want to live, we want to flourish, we want to use what we have for good and right purposes, and it won't always be neat and tidy. And thirdly, hoarding things, whether it's our money or whether it's our possessions. And then our generosity becomes the means of overcoming that. That how can we be more generous? How can we hoard less? And how can we give more, both materially and of ourselves to others? And it could be that we're addicted to sports, or to giving a lot of time to other interests that are taking over our lives. So whatever the compulsions are, we should fast from those. Regardless of whatever it is, fasting from food, from technology, or compulsions, the reason for fasting is to feast on God and to become deeper in faith and more aware of Christ. We fast to show that we have more hunger for God and for His presence and intervention in our lives than for food. John Piper put it like this: fasting is a physical expression of heart hunger for the coming of Jesus. Jesus said, "The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." So Jesus connects Christian fasting with our longing for the return of the bridegroom, with a longing for Him. And therefore, one of the most important meanings of Christian fasting is to express the hunger of our hearts for the coming of our King. It's an expression of the hunger of our hearts for Jesus, for the reality of Jesus dwelling in our lives, for the reality of Jesus' sacrifice impacting us, for the reality of the living Jesus leading us day by day. John Piper there with those inspiring words from his book, Hunger for God. And so fasting then is a longing to know God in our lives with a new hunger and in new ways. Today marks the Platinum Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth's accession to the throne, and we rejoice in her godly and wise leadership over the past 70 years. It's interesting to note that her father, King George the Sixth, made this heartfelt call to this nation on the eve of the D-Day landings on the 7th of June, 1944. And this was the King's call to prayer, whenever he encouraged everybody to set aside time to encounter God and to pray for the nation at a time of great threat. And the King said this: "At this historic moment, surely not one of us is too busy, too young, or too old to play a part in a nationwide, perchance a worldwide, vigil of prayer as the great crusade sets forth. It is from every place of worship, from home and factory, from men and women of all ages and many races and occupations, our intercessions rise. Then, please God, both now and in the future, not remote, the predictions of an ancient psalm may be fulfilled. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will give His people the blessing of peace." And so King George, challenging his people to make time for prayer, to give heartfelt attention to prayer for the nation. And maybe at this time, more than ever, we need that sort of prayer. We have seen over the last couple of days the reality of a crisis developing in this land. And shouldn't we gather for prayer in this cathedral, weeping over our land, praying for good government, for peace and stability, fasting and praying, spare your people, Lord. So on Wednesday week, as I announced earlier, we will meet for prayer. And I want to encourage you to come, to contribute, to repent of our wrong attitudes and ways, praying for church and for national leaders to be reconciled to God, but also to come with a clear and sharply focused vision of the future that sees beyond strife and political turmoil, as the prophet Joel had for his people. First of all, he called them to have broken hearts. The Lord announces to his people, "Return to me with all your heart. There is still time. Do not eat any food. Weep and mourn. Don't just tear your clothes to show how sad you are. Instead, return to the Lord your God. He is gracious. He is tender and kind. He is slow to get angry. He is full of love. He won't bring his judgment. He won't destroy you." And then as the people came and responded, as the trumpet call went out and the people gathered in repentance, fasting and praying, then a new way was found forward. Joel was guided. The people were guided. The plague that was in the land came to an end. A new leadership took place and new leaders were appointed, and the people found a way forward. And maybe that's what we need right here and now in this country. A different way, where government isn't constantly being brought to an end, and where there is stable government and a way forward that seeks negotiation, that seeks peace, that seeks a better way for the future. And in order to achieve that, prayer and fasting is needed. And then in Joel 2, verses 28 to 30, we read these words. "The day of the Lord is coming. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams. Your young men will have visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women alike. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth." When people turn back to God, he saves all who call on his name. God restores and blesses his people in the end. And the most clear fulfillment of God's outpouring of his Holy Spirit was on the day of Pentecost. On that new and mighty army of entirely ordinary people received the Holy Spirit and were empowered to do all the Lord would require of them. They were ready to march into battle, not to proclaim judgment, but to proclaim God's message of grace and of forgiveness, and to tear down the strongholds where evil reigned. As the trumpet sounds, let us respond with fasting and prayer for our nation, for our church, for the whole of society, and for the opening of hearts to the salvation of Christ, for lives, including ours, to be filled and empowered through the Holy Spirit. This week, we have another opportunity to grow deeper in faith and in our relationship with God. The Bible readings for this week will appear on social media. They're also available out here, and they've appeared on the screen here. So if you can't get them another way, well then, you may indeed want to take a photo of that and to record the Bible readings for each day. I know that this week I've found them a blessing as I've been reading and been led through the ones on meditation. The spiritual discipline of fasting has been our theme today. And as we've discovered, there's lots of areas in it. But at heart, it is a discipline that is ordained by God for the good of every Christian, to enliven our fellowship and to empower our witness for Christ. May God find within us hearts that are open to appropriate this means of His grace and His enlivening of faith and trust in Him. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that You would fill us anew with Your Spirit. Give us hearts that hunger for You above all. We pray that You will raise up a new people who stand in the gap for You, who stand firm in faith with Christ as their cornerstone, who have a passion for a better way forward for this land and for Your church, Lord. Give us hearts filled with a new vision of Your glory and of Your grace at work in us and in the world around us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.